Isn't it awesome to see lives changed and transformed by Christ? I would like to have Eva Harpel come to the platform this morning, and her friend Elizabeth Gerhart. You saw Eva share her story on the video there. But as they come to the platform, I want us to think about this baptism service in conjunction with building God's heart into CBC, and how these stories, these testimonies, reflect the values that we've talked about, loving God, loving others, and reaching out. I find it just very powerful that in the midst of Eva's grief of her husband passing away last July, that it was God's way of beginning to grab hold of Eva's heart and helping her to see that he was there and that she could have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. And as Eva's grown to understand that truth, she is growing in her love relationship with God through Jesus. But I also think it's significant that God, in his sovereignty, used Beth as an instrument as she reached out in love to Eva, as well as just reached out to her in the midst of her grief. And I'd like Beth to share a little bit about your perspective on your friendship and relationship with Eva.
I've known Eva and her husband. I've known Eva and her husband Randy for several years, we had a chance to talk a lot after Randy passed, and I was just moved to compassion with how much grief Eva was feeling at that time. And we had the chance to talk a lot about where her life was, and I was helping her to work through the grief. And at one low point, we had talked together, we had cried together, and I had asked her, I said, are you attending a church? Do you have a church family that's helping or supporting you? And she said, well, no, not really. And I said, well, you know, what do you believe? Do you believe in God? Do you have a faith? And she said, oh, yes, you know, I believe in God. And you know, she and Randy had faith, and she was very firm in her conviction that she knew where Randy was, that Randy believed in Christ and Jesus had died for his sins. And, you know, she was very firm in the fact that, you know, we knew where he was. He was in heaven. But she was struggling through her grief. And I just reached out to her in friendship, and I encouraged her to, give a call to our church. And I remember telling her about the grief share class that was going to start here at CBC. And I invited her to come out to church and to meet the people here. And I remember giving her the phone number for our church, and I said, well, just give a call. I said, I know the secretaries will be able to give you some further information and get in touch with Pastor Jan, because I knew he'd be able to really minister to her probably more than I would be able to. And I just prayed, and there were several of us that were praying for Eva at the time, and I just prayed that she would make that phone call. And I knew if she did that I could trust that the CBC family would reach out to her and help share her grief and befriend her and guide her. And I'm just so thrilled that she did. I mean, I am very thankful that we're here today to talk about this and that I was able to see her be baptized.
Let's praise the Lord for that relationship. Here again, as we think about what does loving God, loving others, and reaching out look like, I think the relationship there captures all three of those elements. My heart and prayer is that this morning, the baptisms and the stories that you heard connected with those baptisms are a sneak preview or a glimpse into what God is going to continue to do in the coming months and years. My hunch is that we're going to see literally hundreds of individuals baptized in that baptismal pool, and each one giving testimony to Jesus Christ and His transforming work in their lives. God is doing amazing things in our midst and in the people's lives here. Last week, I had the opportunity to be in the membership class. And I was so blessed as I heard story after story of individual who shared how God, through His Holy Spirit, has been convicting them and drawing them to Himself and been using the people here at CBC in that process. But I want to remind us this morning that the work that God is doing here is not because of us. It's not because we've got it all figured out. It's not because we got it right. God is working among us out of His grace. He is blessing us in ways that we don't deserve, in ways that we can never repay. How many of you want to be part of a church where God is bringing forth fruit, where lives are being changed by the transformational power of Jesus Christ? How many of you want God to use you to help your family members, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers come to love and to worship God? Do you have individuals in your life who need the peace and the joy of knowing that their sins are forgiven, that all the things that have haunted them from their past are covered because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, for them to have that peace, that confidence in Christ? I remember, maybe it was 2 years ago, Jason Slobosian, one of our worship leaders, as he was leading a worship service, and we were preparing to sing How Great Is Our God, a song, How Great Is Our God. And he said, as we sing the song, I want you to think about individuals in your life who do not know the greatness of our God, do not know and have not experienced God's love in a personal way. He said, I want to think about the fact that someday they may be standing next to you singing, How Great Is Our God. Think about who is it in your life that you want to come to know and experience the greatness of our God. And as we sang that song that Sunday morning, I remember tears flowing down from my face as I pictured individuals from this community, men who I've had the opportunity to begin to get to know. And as I thought about someday they standing next to me singing, How Great Is Our God. Do you have that same desire to see others, family, friends, co-workers, come to know and to worship the God of the Scriptures, the God that you have come to know and to love? If you do, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. This morning we're going to conclude our series, Building God's Heart into CBC, with the very passage of Scripture that we started with 10 weeks ago. As we thought about what are the values, what are the priorities of God that need to be built into our lives, we began with Matthew 22, verses 34 through 38. Follow along as I read. This morning in the next 15 minutes, we're going to take three snapshot pictures from the Gospels as we look at Jesus and His teachings. The first snapshot is found here in Matthew 22, verses 34 through 38. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. These were the religious leaders of that day. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." You and I need to keep coming back to the first and the greatest commandment, to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds. Our focus and our priority should not be when reaching out to those around us. That should become a byproduct of our relationships with God through Jesus Christ. When we get up in the morning, when we begin a new day, when we begin a new week, our focus should be the most important thing today is to love God with all of my heart, soul, and mind, to live for Him, to honor Him, to obey Him, to worship Him, to understand that everything begins and centers and ends on God. and that we need to love Him with all of our hearts, soul, and mind. And as we live in love with God, as we grow in our love for God, that will be contagious. The overflow will flow from our lives, and we will naturally share with others about what we have. When Beth got up that morning that she had that significant conversation with Eva, she didn't get up and say, "Oh, I think I'm going to talk to Eva today about Christ." It was the overflow of her life. It was the overflow of her walk with the Lord. Beth knew that God could minister to the deep places of her heart. But it was as Beth walked in love with God that the overflow of her heart was able to touch those around her. Remember the story of Martha and Mary? We did it week one. For those of you who weren't here, or for those of you who were, let me remind you of the story of Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary were excited that Jesus had come to their home. They were sisters. And so Martha was getting the meal ready. She was preparing the house. She was a busy beaver. She was doing all this work to get ready for Jesus. Mary, meanwhile, her sister, was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha became more and more agitated and frustrated that she was having to do all the work. She was busy serving Jesus. She was so frustrated that she finally said to Jesus, "Jesus, don't you care that I'm doing all this work? Tell Mary to help me." And I love Jesus' response. He said, "Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen what is best. Being busy serving me is not what's best. What is best is sitting at my feet, communing, fellowshipping, loving me, having that relationship with me." And so if you and I, individually and corporately, are going to be individuals that God can use to advance His kingdom, to help others come to know and to love and to worship the God of the Scriptures, we've got to make sure that we're nurturing and focusing on our love relationship with God through Christ. I want you to turn into another snapshot of the teachings of Jesus in John chapter 15. If you're in Matthew, just go over to the next book, Mark, Luke, and John. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, we see that Jesus uses analogy in an imagery of a grapevine. In fact, He makes the statement, "I am the true vine, and you are the branches." And so as Jesus talks about being fruitful, I want us to understand the truth that Jesus is communicating in John chapter 15. So follow along as I read verses 1 through 8. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to being my disciples." What's the application? What's the implication? What is Christ calling us to in this analogy? What is it that He wants us to understand? Is the point of this analogy that we should go and be focused on bearing fruit? Should that be the focus? Should that be the priority of our lives? No. What is the phrase that we see at least six times in these eight verses? The New International Version, which I just read from, says, "Remain in me." Some of you might have that translated, "Abide in Christ." Jesus is saying the one thing that you need to do is to remain in me, to abide in Christ. As you are connected to me, the vine, I will produce fruit through you. Your job is not to produce fruit. Your job is to remain, to abide in Christ. And the outcome will be that I will be able to bear fruit in and through your life. Here again, too often I think we get this backwards. You know, there's been times in my life as a pastor, as a youth pastor, where I got this backwards. I got this backwards as I shepherded and pastored junior high and high school students. I wanted them to see their friends come to Christ. And so I began to challenge them to focus on seeing their friends come to Christ. Not that that heart is a bad. But we need to understand that our focus is to remain in Christ, to abide in Him, to be connected to Him. He is the vine. We're the branches. As Christ flows in and through us, He's able to use us to touch the lives around us. And so as we wrap up the series on loving God, loving others, and reaching out, I wanted to make sure that we didn't get too focused on reaching out and loving others, and we lose sight of what is most important, to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, to stay connected to Him. Some of you might be thinking, well, what does it really mean to remain in Christ? What does that look like? Let me try to do the best I can to unpack that. To remain or abide in Christ is not passive, but active. The same Greek word for remain in John chapter 15 is translated live in 1 John 3:24. Listen as I read that verse. Those who obey His commands live in Him. So to remain in Christ is to live in Christ, to be one with Him, to be submitting our wills and our desires to Him, to be aligning ourselves with Christ, to be one with Christ so that He can be living and flowing through us. When we are abiding with Christ, we are fellowshipping and communing with Him. Our hearts and lives are in tune to His presence and His will for our lives. Practically, abiding in Christ means that I go throughout my day with a moment-by-moment acknowledgement of Christ's presence and His will, and involves me communing with Him regularly. Whether I'm studying to prepare a message, whether I'm counseling, whether I'm coaching baseball, whether I'm having dinner with my family, or whether I'm watching NCAA basketball on TV, I can do all of those things by remaining and abiding in Christ. Can do all of those things with the sense that God's presence is with me, that Christ is living in me, that I need to be doing all of these things in a way that would be honoring and pleasing to Him. And as I attune my life to Him, His life is able to flow through me. Again, if you want to see your friends, your family members, co-workers come to know and to worship the God of the Scriptures, the God who you love and you worship, focus on remaining and abiding in Christ. The last passage that we want to look at from the Gospels is in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to look at this passage here on the screens. But Jesus, up until this point in Matthew chapter 4, has been spending the past 30 years of his life being a normal, typical citizen. But at this point, he's beginning to call his disciples to himself. He's beginning his 3 years of ministry that's going to culminate in the cross. Follow along. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. What is the offer that Jesus makes to Peter and Andrew? He says, come, follow me. It is the same offer that Christ is making to each one of us today. Come, follow me. And what does he say is going to be the result if we come and we follow Christ? He says, if you come and follow me, the result will be I will make you fishers of men. I will use you to help other people come to know my love. Other people will put their faith in me because I will work through you as you follow me. Here again, the focus is not that we should go out and say, oh, I got to be a fisher of men. I got to help people come to Christ. No, that is the byproduct. That is the outcome of walking with Jesus, of following Christ. Jesus isn't giving three different messages in these passages. Loving God, remaining in Christ, following Him, walking with Him. They're all different angles of the way we need to walk, the way we need to live. Loving God, abiding in Christ, following Him. I love the way Dave McBride articulated this truth. If you're following along in your notes, you'll see on the back. I have a quote from the devotional that hopefully was beneficial for many of you as we walk through this series. Dave says, Jesus' statement, follow me, is not a command to follow from behind. See what Jesus does and copy that. It's the equivalent of saying, come with me. Fishing for men is a welcoming, come with me invitation to have an intimate friend on the journey who guarantees the fulfillment of his promise. In the process, others accept the invitation to come with Jesus. Think about it. When Jesus called the 12 disciples with him, he didn't say, hey, you guys hang out behind me. It was, come, be with me, walk with me. And as you walk with me, I will make you fishers of men. But there's one more thing that I want you to see in this passage. Let's go back to the text. It says, after Jesus made the offer, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, at once they left their nets. In order to follow Christ, it involves leaving behind something. In fact, in your notes, you're going to see that that is blank. And I want you to be thinking about this morning. Jesus has made an offer to you. Come, follow me. But you need to understand that if you're going to follow Christ, there may be things that are going to get in the way, and you're going to need to leave them behind. The same thing happened if we go back to the passage again. They were in their boats with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them. He said, come, follow me. This is James and John. And immediately they left. They left the boat and their father. They needed to leave their careers. They needed to leave family. What is it that you need to leave in order to follow Jesus? Some of you may need to leave behind relationships that are getting in the way of you following Jesus. Some of you may need to let go of specific sins that are getting in the way of you following Christ. Some of you may need to leave past hurts. You need to let go of those past hurts in order to follow Christ. But this morning, God is calling us to follow Him. In fact, we're going to close out the service. We're going to sing a hymn of the faith. Hopefully that's familiar with you. I have decided to follow Jesus. This hymn is the anthem of those individuals who were baptized this morning. These individuals have said, I am going to follow Jesus. Have you come to that point where you've said, I'm going to follow Jesus? If you do, what is it that you need to leave behind? Maybe you said, yeah, I made that decision a long time ago, but I've sort of gotten off the path. Did you catch what Bart and Kelly said? In college, they started to live for themselves. They stopped following Christ. Maybe this morning you need to get back on the path. You can begin to follow Christ today. It's a new start. The invitation is before you. Come, follow me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be able to use us here at CBC to be your instruments, to help others come to know your greatness, your love, and your mercy. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to stay focused on loving you, and that out of the overflow of our lives, as we abide with you, as we follow you, as we walk with you, as we commune with you, that you would be able to use us as your instruments to help others come to know of your love. Help us, Lord, as we follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When Jesus says to come and follow me, it becomes an action of our will. It's something that he loves for us to do. Of course, he's always told us that he's never going to leave us or forsake us. Why don't you stand with us as we affirm the fact that we have decided to follow Jesus.
Is to follow Jesus, but you say, Jeff, I am struggling to do that. That is very hard for me because of various circumstances in my life, and I would like for you to pray for me as I desire to follow Jesus. In just a moment, at the end of the service, I'm going to be standing over here at the edge of the platform, and if you're here this morning and you want me to pray for you because your desire is to follow Jesus, but you are struggling to do so, join me over there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we would go from this place, abiding in you, exalting your name. Lord, we pray that you would be able to use us as your instruments for the advancement of your kingdom so that others would know your glory and your greatness and your love. Thank you, Lord, for being a God who pursues us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.